Hallelujah. I apologize, we are not taking the confession this morning because I just want to leverage on that hymn, the old rugged cross. It is the essence of our Christianity and it captures my message this morning, so I just want to flow very quickly. Can you go with me to Luke chapter 24, and I'll be in verse 1 all the way to 53. It's a very long chapter, and we're going to read it together. Can I have an amen? Luke chapter 24. Is the last chapter in the book of Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, from verse 1 to 53. Now upon the first day of the week, now this was after the crucifixion. The crucifixion happened in the previous chapter, chapter 23. So now it's a new day, chapter 24, starting. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they remembered his words. I just finished a series titled The Power of Remembering. Now they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye talk and are sad? I'd like you to notice, as they were talking, they were sad, because I will make reference to this later. They were talking and they were sad. The Lord Jesus said they were sad, so they were sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since those things were done. Yea, and certain women also, these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Is he alive? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at this again. And beginning at Moses, because Moses wrote the first books of the Bible that you would call Genesis. Moses wrote that. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, all the prophets wrote about Jesus. Moses wrote about Jesus. The entire Old Covenant wrote about Jesus. Even though they didn't put his name there, obviously, but they wrote about him. And so he began to expound the scriptures to these guys. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Should they not have suspected? This was the custom of Jesus. He would not eat without blessing it, especially with the disciples, and then give to them. Why would a stranger bless the meal in your house and break it and give to you? You told him to come and stay, and he was the one blessing the meal. And their eyes were opened. Woo! And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Didn't our heart bear witness? And while he opened to us the scriptures," and they rose up the same hour. This guy said it was night. He should come and stay with them overnight because it was late. But hey, the news was so good. The news was so good, they could not wait till the next morning. They got up immediately. They rose up the same hour. It was in the night. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, as they were giving the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus, guess what happened? The Lord Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto thee." Every time you go out and you tell somebody about Jesus, you tell them about the power of Jesus, you tell them about the resurrection of Jesus, you tell them about his death, his burial, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus is always present with you. Can I have an amen? So this is our mission and our commission, to go into all the world and tell somebody about Jesus. This is the common calling that we all have. This is not just for pastors and apostles and bishops and leaders. No, this is for every one of us. We have a calling. There is a calling of God over your life. There is a calling of God over my life. We owe our generation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We owe it to this generation. Every one of us. Oh, I don't know the entire Bible. No excuse. Nobody knows it all. And it's not about the letters that you have memorized. It's about your obedience to what he says. And as you open your mouth, he will give you interpretation. Can I have an amen? As these guys were testifying, the Lord Jesus appeared. He stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Shalom." Every time Jesus shows up, he would say, "Shalom, shalom." Interpreted peace, meaning nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Shalom. And the Lord is here this morning. And guess what the Lord has said to us? If you believe that, say it louder. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Unbelieving believers. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, Behold my hands, check out my feet. That it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice he didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bones because he had emptied his blood before the mercy seat of the Father to secure our atonement. The atonement for our sins, our redemption. Can I have an amen? So when you see Jesus today, he doesn't have blood in his bones. He has the glory of the Father flowing in the bones. He has redeemed us by his blood. Colossians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, even the forgiveness of sins through his blood. His blood secured our redemption. So when he resurrected and showed up in this meeting, he said to them, look at me, handle me. This is not a spirit, this is me. Because a spirit does not have flesh and bones like you see me have. Amen. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they still found it difficult to believe. This time, because of joy. Oh, Master, no, I can't believe. Yes, you can believe. There's a song that says, Lord, I can't believe how you love me. You can believe. So the way I sing it, Lord, I can't believe how you love me. You have the capacity to believe. Don't let English language change your faith confession. If you won't believe something, it's your choice. I won't believe. But that you can't believe, that's not true. You have the capacity to believe. Can I have an amen? Unto every man has been dealt the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? I mean, so that you know that this is me. I just want to show you. I fellowship with you before, so let me fellowship with you again. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. And of a honeycomb, and he took it and did it before them, just for them to see. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All things which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, all of them wrote about me. They all wrote about Jesus. The law wrote about Jesus. The prophets wrote about Jesus. Moses wrote about Jesus. The Psalms wrote about Jesus. So it is Jesus, Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. That's why you need to get into the book and read about him and know him and get acquainted with his personality. Because it's all about Jesus. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Wow. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And by the way, somebody needs to hear this. Christ is not the surname of Jesus. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Not his surname, because it's Jesus Christ. Christ is not the surname. Christ means Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, and his anointing. That's also HaMashiach. Praise God. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved that the anointed one and his anointed to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And listen to this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Does that include Nigeria? Beginning at Jerusalem. Some gospel preachers today have found a better gospel. The better gospel they found is that you don't need to repent. The master said, in his name, we should preach repentance and remission of sins
to all nations,
beginning from Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And these preachers say, you don't need to repent. Now, who do we believe? The Lord Jesus, the head of the church, the master, or these new generation preachers? Who do we believe? Talk to me, church. Be careful who you listen to. Be extremely, extremely careful. There is a transference of spirit. You may not know it. It may not be intentional because they didn't lay hands on you. You can get it from watching them on the screen. Transference of spirit. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be careful who you expose yourself to. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's the Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That was the last job he did. The last thing that the master did was to bless the apostles, was to bless the church. The blessing was very important and is still very important till today. Can I have an amen? And that's why we always close our service with, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, nobody said amen to that. You are waiting till the end of the service. Right now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. He lifted his hands. This is called the priestly blessing. He lifted his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, because you know he's our high priest, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great what? With great what? You remember much earlier in the chapter we read that they were sad. But now they are returning with what? Great joy. Because after you encounter Christ, sadness must depart and joy must come. Can I have an amen? Every true believer, everyone that truly encounters Christ, that gets born again, genuinely saved, not because of gospel according to sent money. You give your life to Christ, become a billionaire. No. Everyone that really genuinely encounters Christ, something will happen. A burden will be lifted off your shoulders. Depression has to go out of the window and you return with joy. Can I have an amen? When Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel, the Bible says there was great joy in the city. A whole city was filled with joy. They said, what happened to us? We don't know. We're just joyful. We're just happy. Did they still have problems? Yes. But they got joy in chaos. That is the power of the gospel. Can I have an amen? Peace in the midst of the storm. That is the power of the gospel. Righteousness in the midst of so much filth. So much filth on the internet today. So much filth. Yet, you maintain your righteousness. That is the power of the gospel. You don't have all the money you need yet, but you can explain the joy and the peace in your heart. For the kingdom of God is not meat and in drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Paul the Apostle said in Romans 15:13 that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is at work in you because you're a believer, you abound in hope. You just have hope. You can't even explain it. They say, well, Naira is now, $1 is now 2,000 Naira. You say, oh, well, I don't really, it's not a good news, but I'm not going to commit suicide. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because my God supplies all, not some of them, all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have money in your account right now? I don't have it right now, but I got joy in my heart. Can I have an amen? And I know there's only a matter of time and faith. The money I need will come. So your trust is not in money. Your trust is not in the economy. Your trust is not in the government. Who is on the throne? Is it PDP or APC or MTN or GIL? You care less. Who is on the throne? The one on the throne, his name is King Jesus. Can I have an amen? He's on the throne of my life. And he knows I'm here in Nigeria at the moment and he's going to take care of me. So we look beyond the natural
to look beyond the natural, because while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Somebody came to church burdened this morning, and the Lord will have me tell you that the situation you're looking at, stop looking at it, because it's temporal. It is subject to change. Somebody say subject to change. 2 Corinthians, and I believe chapter 4, and look up verse 18 for me, quickly. While we look not at the things which are seen, stop looking at the situation that you can see. It will keep weighing you down. That doctor's report, you don't get a solution. You don't get a healing by looking, staring at the doctor's report. No. No. If you keep looking at it, it's going to weigh you down. And if care is not taken, it will let you go under. Stop looking at the enormity of your bills, because your blood pressure will go up as financial pressure comes down on you. And the next thing you know is to sigh. Stop looking at the enormity of the criticisms of those who are against you, because those who are for you are more than those who are against you. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? The word of God says, don't look at the things which are seen. Everything you are going through is within the sin realm. It is sin. Maybe pain in your body. Maybe some bad report somewhere. It's within the visible realm, the sin realm. The Bible says, don't look at the things which are seen. What should we look at? Look at the things which are not seen. And so, what are the things which are not seen? The promises of God in His Word. They exist in the realm of the Spirit. They are not seen. Tell me the color of faith. Tell me the color of hope. Give me the color of joy. These things are not seen. Look at them. Why? Because the things which are seen, your conditions which are seen, are temporal. This building is seen. Is it temporal or permanent? Talk to me, church. It is so temporal that by the grace of God, when you come back here this time next year, you would not be able to recognize this place again, because it won't look one inch like this. It is that temporal. Oh, they are coming for me. I don't know, these problems. Oh, all these problems. Oh, family problems. Oh, academic problems. Stop looking at them. Stop staring at them. They may stare you in the face, but you stop staring. You look into the promises of God, because everything that you see is temporal, but everything you don't see, the Bible says, is eternal. These are the promises of God. Are you with me, church? Only Jesus. Only Jesus offers us hope. He is the hope of all the world. Is the light of the world. And for a message, for a title this morning, because some of you have been waiting for the title. Pastor has been talking, but he hasn't given us the title. For a title I have, Living the Good Life. Living the Good Life. I thought by now there should be a smile on your face and you stop frowning. Oh, Pastor, how can you talk about a smile on my face? You don't even know what I'm going through, Pastor. My life doesn't look like, it doesn't look like what? Finish it yourself. Your life doesn't look like what? My own life is a good life. I don't know about you. Is your life good? I mentioned that last week. I said to us last week, your life is good. Your conditions may not be good at the moment. It is something you are going through. It is not forever. Why we look not at the conditions that we are going through? Dollar rising, naira falling is not forever. Amen. It is not forever. Oh, customers are not coming. It's not forever. Amen. Amen. Seasons will come and seasons will go. Conditions will change. People will change. Time will fly. Something will happen. Some things will pass with time. Are you getting what I'm saying? 5 years ago, something looked like it was going to kill you. But here you are today. Did it kill you? If it had killed you, you would not be here today. But your life that you have, if that life is a life that is lived in Christ and for Christ, is a good life. Your conditions are not always good. My conditions are not always good. I wish my conditions were good every time. We will not be sweating this morning because I'll pay off the bills myself without waiting for anybody. Amen. But guess what? Conditions will come and conditions will go. But you have a life that is permanent in Christ, and that life is good. Can I have an amen? Let me show you. I showed the people that came to Bible study on Thursday. Let me show you the sacrifice of Christ. We read about the resurrection now in Luke 24. If you go back home, when you get back home, read the whole of Luke 23. You will see the sacrifice, the crucifixion there. How they slapped him and yanked off his beard and all of that. But hey, Isaiah captured it succinctly before it happened. Isaiah 52, very quickly in verse 12. Isaiah 52 and verse 12, media, I need you here. Don't fail me. Don't sleep on me now. God bless you. Isaiah 52 and verse 12. Is it verse 12? No. Isaiah 52. Let me open my Bible. But it's 52. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. As many as were astonished at thee. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Verse 14 is a messianic scripture. Hallelujah, praise God. Let's start with the KJV. KJV says, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is talking about Jesus on the cross. What this scripture is saying was, having been beaten blue-black, and having carried upon himself the sins and the sicknesses and the diseases of the world, Jesus didn't look like a man anymore on the cross. You see, all those calendars you see and church almanacs with some handsome, cute-looking Jesus on the cross with almost a smile on his face like this is a scam. What did I say it is? What did I say it is? Let me show you the real Jesus on the cross. This is KJV, Old English, you don't understand it. Give it to me in NIV. Be patient with me. We read it together. NIV, please, media, what's going on? NIV, let's read this together, everybody. Just as there were many who were appalled at him. Do you know what it means to be appalled at someone? You look at them with disgust, like, ah! Ladies know how to do that a lot. Yes! What is this? You know, like some dude walks up to you and says, hey, babe, you know, I love you. So when I was Kimmy, so he'd be like, say, you know, something me is doing tim, tim, tim to something you. So let tim, tim meet with tam, tam. Then we go on tim, tam. Me, I want to marry you. And when I married you, you know, everything will flow. Now, under normal circumstances, being a UI student that you are, or being an RN that you are, like three of our sisters that wrote the exams, all of them passed and they're now registered nurses, glory be to God. You know, you have some self-respect. Am I right about that? You have some self-respect. And then this guy comes blowing English like this. He's murdering English. And you're wondering in your head, even if I take you home to my parents, I know my dad. My dad pays attention to grammatical expressions. Are you from a home like that? If you're from a home like that, can you say amen? Amen. They're already sizing you up. And then your body odor is out of this world. I can hardly breathe. Now, the one coming out of your mouth, in Deborah's language, they call it halitosis. Halitosis. Now he's not Hali and Tosin. Hali. Umambu. Ubu hai. Ubu haya. Some people speak and then. You know that one. I can't even cope with it. Now your your sense of dressing is horrible. Where did you get the green socks from? On a yellow pair of sandals, my goodness. Where did this guy come from? Blue shoes and lemon shirt. I don't understand when guys started wearing lemon shirt. Now, and Fofia is wearing a lemon shirt this morning, but she's a babe. Glory be to God. You know, some colors are better reserved for ladies and not for guys. So when a guy wears it, like that pink that shouts, it's called baby pink. We're looking at you and say, hey, where are you coming from? Oh, fuchsia pink. Where? What planet is this person coming from? And such a person walks up to you and says, hello, babes. I just want to marry you, you know. As I saw you, I see you came in. I said, let me told you my intention. And I've told you now. Afa. Some of you would laugh because it's ridiculous. And you look at him and say, I'm a 500 level student of pharmacy. It doesn't matter. I came for graduation. So I came to eat rice and chicken, and I see you walk by. So I say, make I talk. You're definitely not my spec. What do you mean by spec? Okay. Actually, I bought one spec before, but I don't wear spec again because my eyes are good now. I mean, this is of course. You are going to be appalled. Are you getting what I'm saying? I went that route to explain being appalled. They looked at Jesus on the cross and they were appalled. Does that look like some handsome? Now, Jesus is actually handsome, amen? But on the cross, all of that was gone. Look at what he said. His appearance, read with me, church. 1, 2, go. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. And his form marred beyond human likeness. He didn't look like a human being again on the cross. You looked at him on the cross, you saw something that looked like a beast. He had been beaten out of shape. Have you seen a disfigured face before? The cheekbones here come down. And this side of the cheek goes up. Huh? Mouth. Eyes, you are looking for the eyes. They are deep in. The whole thing here is bulging. All kinds of knocks. And because they smote him across the face, there was blood cascading down from his nose, from on top of his nose like this, down. And because they had pulled his beard, they yanked off his beards. I wish I had beards. I would have practicalized it this morning, but I thank God I don't have it. Can anybody volunteer? Anybody with beards this morning? Where are the beard gang? They are looking down. Ayo doesn't have beards. He has applied petrol, kerosene, everything. Glory be to God. Amen. But it's a good thing that you don't have it. People that have it, you don't know how much suffering they go through. Praise God, amen. They yanked off, look at me, listen everybody. They yanked off his beard. Leave the guy alone. They yanked off his beard and blood flowed. Can you stick that? Can you wrap your mind around that? When two ladies are fighting and one holds the other in the hair. Wicked. And drags the person. That person will cry and beg, no matter how powerful you are, if they grab you by your hair. Imagine pulling off the hair. They did that to Jesus. Blood came from his skull because they made a crown of thorns. These were not the thorns that you find on your walkway in the village. These were specifically made of extremely sharp metal and tremendously strong. They arranged them together. They drove it down his skull. And the first thing that happened was that it pierced his skull and blood flowed down his face. The blood coagulated on his beards. Now they yanked off his beards. Now they smote him across the face. So around the head alone, he had bled in three places. Do you think you will still see that kind of person and recognize them? Blood from the top, blood from the middle, blood from below. Now, that was apart from the 39 stripes that he was given. Each stripe. Now, they made, Roman soldiers made a whip specially for him. And they laced the whip with sharp objects. Same material for the crown. They laced it in the whip and they put them in the hands of soldiers. Now, if a teacher flogs you with that, it's suicidal. Imagine if a soldier now flogs you with that, with the energy of a soldier. Now, one whip would go round the body of Jesus. The thing would wrap itself around his body and they would forcefully pull it out. So as they pulled it out in every direction, blood flowed. Because that thing ripped his skin open. And imagine they did that repeatedly 39 times. You will literally be looking at his intestines. I didn't come up with this. It's in your Bible. So forget that cute Jesus you usually see on the cross, almost smiling like, hey guys, bring it on, devil. Bring on your worst. By the time you're done, I'll still be smiling. No, sir. He didn't look like a human being. Blood everywhere. Blood everywhere. He was completely battered. One stripe can kill a human being. Around your tummy area, the thing wraps itself around, and they pull it, it can penetrate into your intestines. One. And they leave the person. UCH will have to work very hard for that person to survive. If they don't hemorrhage and die in the process before they make it to the hospital. And guess what? They didn't take Jesus to the hospital. They gave him 39 of that. Before they went to crucify him. Imagine the depth of the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh, he did all of that to give you a bad life. Come on, talk to me, church. What kind of life did he give you after this kind of sacrifice? If it's not a good life, then throw it away. Somebody say, my life is good. And that's what I want to start teaching from today. Living the good life. People think that when they talk about living the good life, your pastor is talking about enjoyment. Your pastor is an enjoyment pastor. That's when you go to Mokola, Orioke, you know, and you sit down with babes and then your table is full. Gulda, Sazembra, Shekpe, Maltina, juice, and then bowls of pepper soup, you know, cow tail, cow leg, and then fish, fresh fish. That's good life. That's the good life. No. If they knew, that's a miserable life. This is the good life. The good life was purchased with blood. Not with money, with blood on the cross. It was a bloody, bloody cross. In fact, the journey to Calvary was bloody on the way. All the way to Calvary. Look at what he did for you. Look at what he did for me. He didn't look like a human being anymore. He had no human likeness, beyond human likeness. I'm telling you, you could not recognize Jesus on the cross. You would think he was an animal, because this didn't look like a human being. They had battered him. Roman soldiers, if a Nigerian soldier beats you, usually they've beaten half of the person's lifespan. That person is supposed to live 85 years. They've beaten half out of the 85. Roman soldiers. Give me NLT, New Living Translation. I'm not going to rush. I'm not in a rush. I'm not from Russia. Get this right. Get this, and then we share the grace. Amen? NLT. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human. You could hardly say he was a human being. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. Do you understand that English? One would scarcely know he was a man. If you were not there when they were crucifying him, if you were just walking by much later in the day, you say, ah, why did they crucify him? What's this one? Is this a... what name do you call this kind of animal? I've never seen this one before. They didn't teach this one. They didn't teach us in geography, in biology. Maybe it's an amoeba. Amoeba proteus. Amoeba proteus. He had no shape. Nor comeliness. Those who saw him despised him. They were appalled at him. Gosh, you don't want to see. You know those videos you want to open and they say, viewer's discretion is advised. Not because it contains X-rated material, but this one can trigger trauma. Some of you couldn't even open Boko Haram videos. How about Jesus on the cross? There is no sin that has been as gory as the sin of Jesus on the cross. No human being can attain to that. No terrorist can kill anybody or destroy anybody or dismember anybody the way they did to Jesus. No human being in all of their wickedness can achieve it. You know, when some of these comedians want to make comedy, they say, Chris, Easter time, somebody should act Jesus. And then they slap them, Jesus! They say, no, don't say Jesus, you are Jesus. That's an ordinary slap. And hey, they are doing injustice because they are just making everything comical. Don't, it's not everything that is funny. Don't make comedy out of everything. This is our life here. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's okay to be a comedian if you're a comedian, but be careful the content you mess with. Because our entire Christianity depends on that. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we're all members miserable. Our faith is nonsense. Only Jesus died and rose again. Nobody did. When somebody was going, I don't know what they call his name. He told them, I'm going. I don't know where. I don't even know where I'm going. All the religious leaders of the world, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what will happen to me. My followers, continue, Sha, but I don't know what will happen to me. Only Jesus said, I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I bring you to myself so you can be where I am. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was. He knew where he was going. Can I have an amen? Yeah. This is the good life. Give it to me in AMPC, and then I move on from there. AMPC, Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. This is the beauty of having different versions on your phone or your iPad. Please have it. Have different versions of the Bible. Invest. We bought this. It's not free. The church, we paid dollars for these Bible versions. We paid. We subscribe to Easy Worship. Because I believe in the Word of God. Have it also. Some of them, they're free. Download them. Don't stop downloading nonsense. And people are sending and sharing all kinds of X-rated videos now. Christians should not be caught doing that. These things war against our soul. Jesus Christ died for us to live a higher life. These things take us back to the lower life. Anybody can sin. Sin is cheap. Not anyone can live a righteous life. And we have been called to live that life. It's a good life. I say it's a good life. There are places where if they come with kits and they say, now today, want everybody to volunteer. This is compulsory. We want to do HIV screening. Some people will escape through the window. No. Do I look like I have HIV? But if you are there as a child of God, say, oh yeah, I'm free. Please check. And I would like to donate blood. Some people are not sure of themselves. By the virtue of the life they live. Righteousness brings peace. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have that in Romans 8. Now, look at what he said. Amplified Classic. I hope the screen was able to capture this. Oh. Media, I don't know why this is tilted, and it looks like we've lost some of the letters. But let's try. Does anybody have it on their phone, Amplified Classic? For many, the servant of God, that's Jesus. You see, capital letter S, servant of God. Let's read it together. One, two, go. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Have you seen a horror movie before? Oh no, talk to me, guys. I didn't say you committed the sin now. Have you seen a horror movie before? But you know, when we're much younger, we didn't like to watch it. We like to watch it in the night, but we didn't like to watch it because it will make you have a bad dream. Blood in the mouth of a... They will tear somebody's body part and it will grow again. Horror. Jesus was a horror. Something you looked at and you'll be scared on the cross. How did he get there for you and for me? For many, the servant God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance, so not just his face, and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him. Did you get something out of this? That was the sacrifice. That was the sacrifice for you and for me to have and to live the good life. Let me say this to you. The presence of Christ is what makes life good. Without him, it's all dark, drab, D-R-A-B, gory, and sad without Jesus. The enemy of life, that is Satan himself, was succinctly exposed by King Jesus in John 8:44. Can you go to John 8:44? King Jesus exposed the enemy of life there. John 8:44, please, very quickly. He was rebuking the Pharisees and the Jews. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was an assassin and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can you say amen? That's the enemy of life. He's a murderer. Anybody that is into murdering people, murdering lives, is an enemy of life. Abortionists, they're enemies of life. Satan is the chief abortionist in the world. He likes to destroy lives. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief cometh not but for to steal, but to kill, and to destroy. That's what he knows how to do. Steal, kill, destroy. He's an enemy. If he's not stealing from you, he's trying to kill you. If he can't kill you, he wants to destroy your dreams, destroy your destiny, destroy your health, destroy your life, destroy your academics, destroy your business. You must know him for who he is. Amen? So when there's a destruction around you, don't blame God. Rebuke the devil and tell him to get his dirty hands off of you. Can I have an amen? Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Life itself is traceable to Christ. Life itself, real life, the thing called life, is traceable to Christ. It has its roots in Christ. That's why he that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, I don't care. You have money, you have connections, you have property, you don't have life. You don't have life. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, the psalmist wrote about him. You remember he said that he explained what Moses wrote and the law and the prophets and the Psalms about him. Psalm 36 and verse 9, the psalmist wrote about Jesus. He said, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. With Jesus is the fountain of life. Inside Jesus is the fountain, the beginning, the spring, the source of life. In his light, we see light. Let me give you for free, students. When you are in the lecture room or you are in the exam hall and you need to recall something and it's very difficult to recall, stop toiling in the flesh. It is equal to mental torment. You will just crack your head and crack your head and break down. Don't do that. When you've tried to recall and you cannot recall, take a pause and just worship 1 minute. Father, I just thank you. And it's an advantage if you can speak in tongues. If you can't speak in tongues, please, and you're a member of this church, see me today. I want to pray with you so you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. It is to your advantage. The Holy Ghost is the believer's advantage. So take a pause. Then come up with this scripture. Father, I worship you because with you is the fountain of life, and in your light, I see light. That's all you need to say. In your light, Lord, I see light. It's in his light, we see light. You will see light. Amen? This is so real. I've done it myself. I've practiced it. It has worked for me. I've shared with other people. It has worked for them. It is still working because forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Not for 1 year. Forever. If it worked 15 years ago, it's still working today. Can I have an amen? If you're a creative and you have been given an assignment, a task to come up with a script, maybe you want to write the script for a jingle or you want to do a production and they say, write a script or write a book or write something. And then you've toiled and toiled. Mental toiling does not equal to creativity. Stop toiling. Worship. Worship Jesus. And tell him, Lord, with you is the fountain of life and in your light I see light. In your light, Lord, I see light. I'm telling you, before you are done worshiping, an idea will drop. This is how I get my messages. There are times I struggle all week, Monday to Saturday, looking for what to preach on Sunday. And the reason is, not because I can't go and preach one of the old messages, I can. Not because I can't go to the internet and pull something, I can, but I don't. I want a word for now, a fresh word for today. So this is my secret. Lord, in your light, I see light. The Lord will say to me, so are you done toiling? I'm done. When you are drowning in a swimming pool, you chill. The lifesaver, what do you call those people? Lifeguards will not jump in with you when you are still struggling. The natural thing is you are drowning, you'll be struggling. I don't want to drown. And then you're drinking water. The lifeguard will chill. When you have taken enough water and you are now calm, my mind is calm. Can I have an amen? When you are calm, to take bath for long, you say, where, Lord, if this is it, then the lifeguard will come in and get you out. I said, why would they do that? Why can't they do it while the person is struggling? Because the two of them would drown. I've read of families that drowned in the swimming pool because a daughter was drowning. The father jumped in. The natural parental instinct to save his beloved daughter. Two of them drowned. Lifeguards are trained. They'll be looking at you. They'll be looking. And in your mind, why is this so wicked? Why are you... Then they will come in, bring you out. Stop toiling. Can you help me tell your neighbor, say stop toiling? Focus on Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me, people? I have a few more minutes. Is somebody getting something out of this message today? Very good. In John chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. In John, 1 John 5:12, it says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Have you got Jesus? Have you got Jesus? Then you got life. Choir, I hope someday you will sing that song. Or maybe next Sunday. If I got Jesus, I don't know beyond that line. the world away from me. If I got Jesus, I got it all. You don't know the song? Where have you been? Kileman will on Instagram. I got that song from Instagram. It's one white guy with beards like this. Okay, how many of you know the song? Oh yeah, raise your hand if you have heard that song. If I got Jesus, I've got take the world away from me. If I got Jesus, I got it all. If you have heard that song before, lift your hand. 1, 2, 3. Mercy, Lord. But you have all heard of, it is not from here, that one. Go and research that song, okay? I'd like us to have it. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. If you have got Jesus, you've got life. Because life resides in Christ. Can I have an amen? In Acts 17:28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Now, let me wrap up this way. Beyond this earthly life in our nostrils, we have life in our spirit. Somebody say, I have life in my spirit. Very good. It is the life of God. It is eternal, unending, inexhaustible. It's eternal. It's unending. It's inexhaustible. You can't exhaust it. The Greek word for that life is zoe. This earthly life in our nostrils will end someday. It will end someday. The maximum point for its exhaustion is 120 years. As stated in Genesis 6:3. My spirit will not always strive with man, because that he also is flesh, and the number of his days shall be 120 years. That's the maximum point of exhaustion. Some get exhausted at 70. And some 80, some 69, some 43. People get exhausted along the line. There were some, like Moses in Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, lived 120 years. His eyes were not dim. His natural strength was not abated. He still has strength till 120. Abraham lived 175. Isaac lived 180. Jacob lived 147. I give you scriptural references. That's Genesis 25. And verse 7, Genesis 35, 28, and Genesis 47, 28. I take it again, Genesis 25 and verse 7 for your reference when you get home or back to your hostel. Genesis 35, 28, and then Genesis 47, 28. Those ones chronicle the ages of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, listen, no matter how long this earthly life may last, it will be exhausted someday. But the believer in Christ has hope beyond this crazy dog-eat-dog world. And I will give you a scripture and we'll close for today. 1 Corinthians 15:19. 1 Corinthians 15:19. This is the believer's hope. It said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Give it to me in the Amplified Classic. If in this life only. What to eat, what to drink, what to drive, where to live, where to work, eh? Who to marry, how many children to have. If that is our only hope in Christ, just this life alone, we are of all men most miserable because we have denied ourselves certain things. To now end up like the rest of the world is not good. Amplified Classic. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we are of all people most miserable and to be pitied. The life that we carry in our spirit goes beyond this life. And I want you to appreciate your salvation. Don't mess around with your life. Don't play with sin. If you have been saved, you're a child of God, honor God with your life. Appreciate the salvation of your soul. We are going to go to Mokola in a few days from now. For evangelism, for publicity. We want people to look at Christ and leave. Many of them don't have the life you have. One of my guys sent me a text during the week. Victor said, Pastor, I'm grateful for the opportunity to lead prayer. I led prayer last Thursday. And he put something there that touched me. He said, I thank God for finding Christ who took me out of the streets. We are not better than those on the... I was born on the streets. Some of my mates are still on the streets. Today I'm a preacher of righteousness. I never thought of this. I never dreamt of being a pastor in my life. If our only hope is just this life, I want to go to America. I want to go to Guinea Corn. Of all men, most miserable. But we have life beyond this one. Are you with me? Life beyond the one in our nostrils. Whether we live 100 or 120 or 90 or whatever, how many years you desire to live, that one will be exhausted. Then living starts after that. I wish I had time to show you. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, there were two thieves beside him. One of them mocked him. Shebi, you say you are the king of the Jews. Save us now and save yourself. The other one says, shut up! We are suffering for what we deserve. We deserve this suffering. But this man has done nothing. Please, master, in your kingdom, remember me. The last minute before they took the last breath, Jesus said, tonight, verily, verily, tonight, you shall be with me in paradise. He made it at the last minute. The three of them died after. The one that abused Jesus died, and the other thief died. Now, death is not the finality. Death is the end of a chapter. Hey! It's the beginning of another one. Where you're going to open your eyes in eternity. Every man will be exhausted at some point, at 95, at 105, at 117, at 123. Everybody will be exhausted at some point. But hey, where are you going to open your eyes in eternity? Do you have life? If you don't have that eternal life from here, nobody will dash you over there. Stand on your feet, everybody. This is the good life. If it all ends today, people of God, we are going to continue fellowshipping with the Lord. If it all ends today, something happens, and then we are all in heaven today. Hey, are you going to make it? Are you going to make it home? Do you have life beyond the breath in your nostrils? People live their lives as though there is no eternity. They live as if this is the only life. As they take you out to eat shawarma. As they take you out to eat barbecue. They say, we are chopping life. Come and chop life. Come and chop life. Life is chopping you. Unless you have Christ. If you have Christ, you can enjoy shawarma. It's not a sin. You can eat grilled fish. Me too. I like good things. Good things. Nemo like. Good. Because my Jesus is good. In John 10, 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. John 10, 14, I'm the good shepherd. He said it twice. But if you don't have Jesus, if you eat shawarma, you have eaten the skin of your head. Allah aru tonje bwedi. If death catches anybody unawares, they are not in Christ. The moment they open their eyes like this is damnation. He that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. All eyes closed. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever block me from his end. To who returns or calls me home, here in the power of life, no fear. of fearing death. This is the power of Christ. Come on. No.
From life's first cry,
as the baby,
to final breath,
as an old man.
Jesus, the
Jesus, commands my destiny. Side of eternity. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
From last first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my
light, our strength and song. Through the storms of life, through the vicissitudes of life, through the challenges, through sickness and disease, through poverty and lack, through famine and peril and danger, through threat and all kinds of things that we go through, Christ is our hope, the hope of all the world, the hope of the nations. Do you have him living in your heart right now? If the answer is no, I want to pray for you. I want Christ to be real to you. I want Christ to be real in your heart. Not just the Christ you've been told in Bible school, Bible study, but you want him to be living, to be alive in you, to talk to you. All eyes closed. If you're in that category, please lift your hand above your head. You want to surrender your heart to Christ? You want to surrender your heart to Christ? Notice I didn't say your life, because you have no life if you're not in Christ. In him, his life. You want to receive life. You want him to come into your heart. Maybe you've done it before, but somehow you backslid, and today you want to reconnect with him. Can you lift up your hand above your head? Ministers, let me look around. If there's anyone like that, I want to pray for them very quickly. You want to surrender your heart to Jesus. You want to be born again. You don't want to live life on your own terms anymore. You want Christ in your heart. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Or maybe you want to rededicate. You feel the need to rededicate. You feel the need that, hey, I don't want to deceive myself. This is between me and my God. Let anybody mock you, it's their problem. Let anybody laugh at you, it's their cup of coffee. This is between you and your God. You want to rededicate your heart to Christ. Join me. Join me. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Christ will break the power of addiction. Any kind of addiction over your life. Addiction to anything. Any kind of struggle. Christ will break the power It will break it. It will break the power of sin. It will break the power of untimely death. Some of you are living in fear. Death can kill you anytime. Hey! Come to Christ. So you stop to be afraid of death. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Don't let Satan eat you raw without salt. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. If your life is not the one that glorifies God, please come out. Nothing to be ashamed of. I have a burden for somebody. There's still one person in the audience. There is still at least one more person that needs to step out today. Today is your day of salvation. Step out. Step out. Yes, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. There's still more. There's still more. Today. There's one more. There's at least one more. Lura bahasta diada bahaya. Oh, Brenda stakada bahaya. Till he returns or calls me home. To back with me, Lord Lincoln. In the power of Christ. Thank you, Father.